Yarrow. Welcome to the next audio call. Today's topic is possibly the most important topic you're going to cover when it comes to successful blogging. Or at least I think it's equally important. The two elements of successful blogging are content and marketing, which I talked about in the Blog Profits Blueprint. Today we're going to cover content and how to produce pillar content, which is the principle I introduced to you in the Blog Profits Blueprint, and we're going to elaborate on now. Blogs essentially are means of distributing information and providing value to your readers. For you to have success as a blogger, you need to be demonstrating value on a consistent basis. And to do that, I recommend the principle of pillar content or a pillar article. I say pillar content because it doesn't necessarily have to be written words. You can do more extensive alternative media formats like video and audio and imagery to go along with words or instead of words that still can be as effective as a pillar article is. So pillar content's a more relevant label for this sort of content, and I think you can understand the principle here. It's a pillar. It's the foundation for a successful blog. It's the reason why people come to your blog. It's the reason why they keep coming back, because they expect to have more pillars coming from you, more great content, and more importantly, it's the reason why other people will link to you, bringing you the traffic in the first place. You haven't got that audience and those communication channels coming into your blog. Well, it doesn't matter how good your content is because no one's reading it. So your pillar content, while it's not technically a marketing tool, in a lot of ways it really is your marketing. It is the reason why you get traffic in the first place. So you want to nail this aspect of your blogging really well. And I know from feedback and the way I just see people who are making comments on my blog whenever they have problems with blogging is they don't understand why their content isn't pulling traffic and why their blog is not taking off. And there's a few things I want to go over in this recording today that to help you avoid these common mistakes that most bloggers make that are not or that are hindering you from really building a successful blog. And it's really important you listen carefully to this call and execute what I'm talking about, because you know, without this, there's not much else I can do for you. If you don't get these principles nailed on your blog, no matter what I tell you to do, no matter how many techniques you use in marketing, you just won't get any traction. And you need traction in order to build on your previous success and in order to slowly build that traffic and start making income. So really, really pay attention to these principles. Now, let's move straight into this. The first thing to do is, I'm assuming you've written some content already for your blog or you're about to, but you don't necessarily, or you haven't necessarily had big success yet with really good content taking off and gaining traction and, you know, bringing in lots of links and bringing in lots of new readers. You haven't hit a big communication channel as a result of one of your articles. So you may not inherently understand what it takes to produce good content, because until you do it, you don't really know what it was that you hit the nail on the head with in this case. And that's the beautiful thing about experience with this. Once you've done it once, you realize, ah, I scratched that itch that my readers had. I see they really have a need for information along these lines, or information delivered in this format. So if I just keep doing more of this, I'm going to get more results of the same. And that's what most successful bloggers do. They'll hit a really nice traffic vein, a really interesting topic, a really interesting medium of communication, and repeat. So they build more traffic and more traffic and more traffic. It's exactly this reason why things like the list article, which is one of the pillar article concepts I mentioned in the Blog Profits Blueprint, the list article took off and takes off, and it's still one of the most common recommendations you'll get from anyone who's writing about successful blogging is to write list articles. A list article is, like it sounds like, usually the top seven somethings of something. So the top seven tips to boost your blog traffic beyond 1,000 readers. The top seven mistakes bloggers make that cause them to lose their readership. But these are the sort of very standard article titles. And then the content is basically a very short list of dot points numbered 1 through 7 or whatever that list things in concise information presentation through dot points or numbered points. These are not paragraphs, these are not long articles. And there's a reason why these articles work so well. It's the ease of consumption of information. Remember, with the internet, we're we're working with an audience that has a very short attention span, that are used to scanning documents, that are used to reading pages within 3 seconds and moving on to the next page. And that's why the list article has become so popular, because it can break through the short attention span and in a very quick amount of time grab someone's attention. They finish reading the article, you know, you've entertained them, you've educated them, you've provided value to them, and they're likely to bookmark you or add you to your RSS, or add your blog to their RSS feed reader, and you've just captured a new reader. Where if you had this huge, you know, massive article, 3,000 words, blocks of text, it's harder for the average scanner to commit to reading that article. Now, it works for some people to have a large article like that. Steve Pavlina is a great case. I'm a good case for this as well. I write some really large articles, sometimes breaking the 3,000 word mark. And I know I turn some people off with that, but there are my regular readers who'll stick with me, and they will read my solid articles, and they come to expect that from me. So there's some real value in that, but it's not necessarily the most effective means to communicate. And you know, if you're early days and you don't have a loyal audience yet, you really need to do everything you can to capture people with short attention spans. So the list article is a very effective tool, and this is what I was talking about in terms of finding formulas that have worked before. So the list article is a formula that's worked for many bloggers before, and it will work for you if you hit a topic that your audience is interested in. It's not a guarantee, but in most cases it should work, especially if your information is valuable. It's a good format to use. Like I mentioned in the Blog Profits Blueprint, the how-to article is also a very staple article, and if you can teach people how to do something, then that article will always remain in their minds as a fantastic tool to give to anyone who ever needs to learn how to do that specific thing. And that's why how-to articles are so effective as a pillar article concept as well. And really, if you could fill your blog just with nothing but how-tos and list articles, you'd probably do fantastically well, assuming your information is unique and valuable to your target audience. Now, the reason why I bring up those sort of pillar concepts, and this is particularly important to you if you've never had, like I said, the success with a big communication channel, a really powerful article bringing in lots of traffic, then you have to go out to other blogs and assess what they did and attempt to replicate their process. There's no need to reinvent the wheel, what is already working for other people. You just take their concepts and apply it to your blogging. The only area where you need to be creative is the actual content. So the format remains the same. It's a list, it's a how-to, it's a definition piece, it's a glossary, it's a lesson in a Camtasia presentation. Maybe it's a series of four articles that teaches how to do something, or it's a deep thinking piece that references, you know, your thoughts on something controversial in your industry. All these things are just formats to present your information in that have proven to work before, and it's your ability to use these formats which people really respond to well, but also to come up with really valuable information when you do use these formats to distribute your content. So I can give you these formats, and I have done that, and I will continue to do that, and I'll keep showing you examples of pillar articles. My blog is littered with them. Nearly every article I write, I attempt to create a pillar. Some of them, of course, have performed better than others, and I'll do my best to point out the ones that have worked well, and I will explain to you why, and maybe the ones that didn't work well in the e-lessons as we go through the whole Blog Mastermind course process. But for the purpose of this call, I need you to understand why it is that you may not be succeeding today with your content. And the very likely reason is you're doing one of several things. You may understand the concept of pillar articles, and you may be producing lists, and you may be producing how-tos, but the content within your lists and your how-tos is not valuable. You're either regurgitating other people's content, or you're covering topics that are covered by other people and they're doing a better job of it than you are, or even if they're not doing a better job of it than you are, you're writing about topics that other bloggers who are much more famous than you are covering. So, you know, you're not going to make a significant impact if you just look like a second-rate copycat to an already successful blogger, which again ties back into the need to find your own topic area and subdivide niches into smaller niches so that you're really unique in the blogosphere and really quite focused on what you're providing to an audience. And those are probably the main reasons why you won't have success if you, despite the fact that you are using proven pillar concepts. The other reason would be the other way around. You're just, the way you format your articles and the principles you use and the type of English you use is just not compelling. And this is really a copywriting issue. If your content is quite unique and quite original and quite valuable, but it's not distributed in a sound format, then you will lose a lot of audience just because you're not using the right triggers to capture attention. And this is all about effective copywriting. Copywriting is a skill set that most people can learn, but it's a reasonably dynamic skill set and it does take some training. I personally have done a little bit of training. I've read some books about the topic, but whenever it comes to something like a sales page or something really important to me, I'll always get a established copywriter to write it for me. In our case, we're talking about blog content creation, so we're not going to outsource to a copywriter, obviously, to go over our blog articles. That being said, I'm sure that would be a very effective thing to do if you had the financial resources or, you know, friendship with someone who really knows their copywriting. If you had your copywriter friend review your article or every single article you did before you posted it to your blog, I'm sure it would do wonderful things for your traffic. And you know, that there's nothing more powerful than a copywriter working their magic on your content. So, you know, though I don't expect anyone listening to this call has that sort of resource available. The most crucial element, and this is an 80-20 skill set here, if you want to talk about copy and you're planning on doing a bit of study into how to become a better copywriter and how to become a better blog article writer, the one area you would spend 80% of your time, which is get you 80% of the results, and this is clearly, you know, a very small part of your article, so this is a case of where 5% of your article's content amounts for, you know, not 100%, maybe not quite that much, but accounts for 80% of the traffic you're eventually going to receive to the article. And I'm talking about your article title. The title is by far the most important element of any blog article, and you already should know this if you've listened to some of the bonus audios, in particular the one I did with Brian Clark of copyblogger.com. Brian blogs about this specific topic, how to write good copy for blogs, and if you haven't done it yet, go to copyblogger.com and read through all of his pillar articles, his how-to articles on how to write good headlines, you know, how to write compelling content, and how to make he has content on all aspects of copy. There's an area there on how to do good metaphors, headings and subheadings, and creating curiosity, everything that goes into writing good copy for bloggers. And you know, if you just adapted just a couple of the principles Brian teaches in those materials, and if you listen to the bonus audio I provided for you with that interview with Brian, you'll have, you know, much stronger skill set of how to write good copy than the average blogger does, and that's a big advantage in the blogosphere. And that's really one of the main reasons why most of the successful blogs can beat the other blogs, because they just have the more compelling titles that lead into more compelling content. And if you produce this compelling content and use the right kind of titles over and over and over again, you build a successful blog. If you were to come to me now with your blog and ask me to do a review and assess why it is your blog's not doing very well, I can almost guarantee you the number one reason, if I had a look at your blog, would not be design, would not be what software you're using to run your blog, or, you know, how many people you've attracted with your comment marketing efforts. It wouldn't be any of those elements. It would be your content. It would be what is it about your content that's not pulling traffic. And in most cases, you're failing to really be original, to be remarkable, to provide significant value. It is a bit of an abstract topic, and I know for some of you it can be challenging to really put the reason why your content's not working while someone else's content is. The best thing I can, like I said earlier in the call, is to really study the effective content of other bloggers. When you find yourself reading other blogs, ask yourself why it is you have read this article from top to bottom. Why is it you're listening to this audio call from start to finish? There should be a very clear reason why. There should be a few subtle motivations you have and compelling triggers I provide to you, whether it's the way I speak, the type of words I use, the language I use, or the very specific solutions to very specific problems you have, that keeps you compelled and interested in the content. And these are principles you need to apply to your writing as well. You know your market the best. Hopefully you are a customer of your own industry, so you know the feelings, the desires, the needs of the people you're trying to satisfy with your writing, so you can hit upon the topics they really want to know about. Then all it is a matter of producing the content, using a powerful headline, using powerful sub-headlines, and using how-to pillar article formats and list pillar article formats, and doing that over and over and over again. And really taking note when you hit a really good article. As soon as you get an article that gets a lot of traffic, assess what it is that you did both in the content creation and the marketing efforts after. I'll talk about marketing in the next call coming up, but certainly from the content creation part, assess what it is that seemed to really appeal to people in your article. If you can, look at the comments. That's one of the first places to get a good idea. But if you can, get some specific feedback, because it's the readers who will really be able to tell you, because they're the ones who actually enjoy what you did. So, you know, this can be as simple as leaving a comment after your own article saying, what is it that you really enjoyed about this article? And most people will be, a very small fraction of your readership will be happy to tell you why it is they read your article. And surveying your audience is by far the best way to find out what people respond well to. To give you an example, and this is an example of where surveying is really powerful. Before creating this course you're now partaking, Blog Mastermind, I had my Blog Traffic Tips newsletter, which was a very popular, and still is a very popular, newsletter on how to grow your blog from 0 to 1,000 daily readers. It's a free newsletter I write. It comes out roughly once a week, and there's quite a few back catalog there, so if you signed up, you'd go through my series from the beginning. And that's available from blogtrafficking.com. Now, that newsletter, I reached about a year into publishing it. So I had a readership of about 3,000, 3,500 people when I decided to launch this Blog Mastermind program. And before I launched it, I made the step of actually asking my existing newsletter subscriber base what it is they wanted to see in a mentoring program, but more so what it was that the most significant problems they were having with professional blogging, with blogging in general, with how to make money from blogging. And chances are some of you people listening to this call will remember me asking that question, and you may have even sent back a reply to me giving me your reasons why you were blogging and what you were having difficulties with. When I sent that email, I received over 120 replies from the readers. And these are some solid replies. We're talking paragraphs after paragraph. I asked 5 specific point questions, and some people answered very briefly with a few sentences, but there was a good chunk that wrote, you know, 2 or 3 paragraphs for each point, which made for some very compelling feedback for me. I've never gotten such good information about my target audience than I did when I sent out that one email to my newsletter list. It told me what exact sticking points my readership were having problems with. It told me what level of skill set my readers had. It told me what sort of pricing they were willing to pay to join a mentoring program. It gave me a structure for an entire course in a lot of ways, because I could look through all the questions and create a sequence of topics that answers those most popular questions and those most difficult points that people are experiencing with their blogging. And really, you know, what you're actually going through now in the Blog Mastermind program and what's in the Blog Profits Blueprint is in a lot of ways influenced by what feedback I got when I sent out that one email. And obviously, this is the best way to find content that provides the most value, because you're answering the specific questions your audience has, and you don't know those questions until you ask. As intuitive as you may be, or as in tune with your marketplace as you may be, you don't know specifically until you actually ask someone what it is they have problems with. That should make sense to you. Now, some of you don't have an audience yet, so you don't have anyone to ask yet. That's fair enough. You're going to have to you know, run with your gut and run with your knowledge and run with your own experiences to try and find what it is that your audience responds well to. And this is a case of throwing things against the wall, testing different content ideas, seeing what topics people respond well to and what you get no response to. All this being said, you may not get an audience until you actually do marketing. It's a very good chance for most people on this program that you won't have an established audience already, so the next call and all the lessons I give you on marketing your blog goes hand in hand with everything I'm telling you with this pillar content recording as well, because it's what brings people to your content, so you can then start conducting that research and getting some survey responses or just getting any feedback whatsoever about your readership. However, that shouldn't stop you from starting off on the right foot and leading with pillar content from day one. So again, if you haven't read the Blog Profits Blueprint, please do so immediately, because in there you'll find I think it's 6 or 7 structures for how to write pillar content and some, you know, perfect examples of what it is. And you should be sitting down once a day and writing one of these pillar articles, and that's a fantastic way to get a nice start to your blog. You'll know when you hit some pillar content because of some very obvious reactions you get from your readership. The first thing is commenting. You'll notice a lot of comments, or an unusually high amount of comments compared to the normal amount of comments you get. Now, if you're brand new, if you get 0 comments, then and you suddenly get 3 or 4 or 5, then you obviously hit upon a topic that's a little bit more powerful than the previous topics you've been writing about. If you're already getting 20 comments a day and suddenly you hit 40 or 50, then it's all relative to your current situation. So, you know, you should be happy with any single jump you have and take that as an indication. Just, you know, never be too rigid with your assumptions. Obviously, the other areas where you'll know if something's popular is if you have a lot of other blogs linking to your new article. If a really popular blog links to your article, then that's a cause for celebration. So you know you've hit upon a fantastic pillar concept in that case. One of the things I enjoy doing is actually doing some internet research after I've produced a pillar article to see how many other blogs link to it, to see how many other blogs are talking about it, maybe find it in forums, and you know, you'll get trackbacks sent to your blog if some other blog writes a topic specifically linking to your article you just wrote. And as your blog becomes more popular, this is something you could do almost on a daily basis. Every time you write a new article, there's a good chance there'll be a handful of other blogs who then go on to continue your ideas by writing their own articles. And it's a really enjoyable process, because hey, who doesn't like seeing their work being discussed by other people on other blogs and other websites, or in comments on your own website? It's one of the most enjoyable intrinsic rewards you will ever get as a result of blogging, when you see so many other people engaging in your content and really finding value in the ideas you present. So that's a good sign, not just from a warm and fuzzy feeling, that's also a good sign that you're gaining traction, you're hitting on topics people are interested in, and all this slowly leads to building a more successful blog, and eventually, of course, making more money as a result of the success you're enjoying in terms of traffic and producing pillar content. So, one of the things I enjoy doing with my pillar content is creating a special repository for it, which is what I call an articles page. This is an obvious thing to do with your blog, because you want to demonstrate your best content in a separate page that's easy to find, because what will happen is as you produce new content, your previous pillar articles will drop into your archives. And while they still may be found from search engines, and you may have people browsing through your archives if they're really, really, really getting into your blog, generally people only read the first page of articles, your most recent content. So you want to have a way to put your best content on display, especially as you produce more and more pillars over time. This also is a good idea because it will help convince new readers who come to your blog for the first time that you're an established blogger, that you've done more than one good article, that they should subscribe to your RSS feed or bookmark your site and come back quite often, because you're not a one-show pony. You're not one good article or, you know, a one-hit wonder from the music scene. You really can produce great content on a consistent basis, and it's worth them being a regular reader of your blog. Having an articles page performs that role. They can go through and read just your top content. I do this only with my pillar articles. I don't put in my news articles or my smaller articles into my articles page, because that would effectively just be a list of every single piece of content I've ever written. And you really only want to put your best stuff on display. So if all you did was write a paragraph linking to someone else's article or regurgitating some specific news that was about in your industry, that's not really a pillar article. The pillar articles are significant original content, and that's the content you need to be putting in your articles page for people to find when they come to your blog and have easy access to. It's also a good idea just for research purposes, because some people will need to, you know, just find your previous content when they may have read it in the past and they remember it in the future as something they want to refer to or recommend to friends. And I know people have done that with my content because I get comments still on my old articles. Not as many as my new articles, obviously, but certainly any article that's currently in my articles page will have a smattering of new comments each month because I have readers going through my article page and looking through my older articles and still finding value in what I produce there. Just going to wrap up this call with a few final pointers on what it takes to produce pillar content from a more practical point of view. These are mindset audios, and the mindset to creating pillar content is really more about getting into a habit and analyzing the results of successful articles and attempting to replicate that success on an ongoing basis. So as long as you're doing that, you've got the right mindset to produce pillar content, and you will get rewards from it. But there are a few other things you can do from a practical standpoint, most of which I'll go through the e-lessons with you on a week-by-week basis. I already mentioned headlines as the number one point, which is that's always going to be the case, so work on that the most. Other things you can do to enhance your content as you're producing it are some fairly obvious things, but people just don't do it, and it's quite surprising because it really is simple things to do. I'm talking about more than just headlines. Add sub-headlines. So if you find your articles are long blocks of paragraph after paragraph, that's not easy for people to scan to, and it's a little bit off-putting. Most people, if they see large blocks of text, will actually run away. They'll click away from your page, which is not the outcome you want. So you need to break down the thought process that your article produces and have headings and subheadings to do that. That allows people to scan and allows people to feel a sense of progression by reading your article from heading to heading. So it's a lot less scary. So that's the next point. It's also important to break up individual points of text, which is just a matter of using things like bolds and italics and any highlighting text. You can use block quotes. If you're a WordPress blogger, which you should be, you'll have the block quote function available to you within your WordPress input box when you write articles. Bolds, italics, and block quotes just help to, again, to break up the pattern of long blocks of text, and they help you to emphasize certain points. This again comes down to what it takes to do successful copywriting, and I'm not going to be here to teach you a whole copywriting course. If you ever get a chance to read a book or to take a course in copywriting, I thoroughly recommend that. But from a basic point of view, you can certainly develop skills and sort of intuitively pick what words, what sentences you need to emphasize using bolds and italics and block quotes to highlight things. Those simple techniques, so headlines, subheadlines, bold italics, and block text, is all you really need to do in terms of formatting your document. Obviously, list points are important as well. I've already mentioned the list article format, so use dot points and numbered lists as many times as appropriate to break up the text again and make things easy to consume. But these are just tools you can use to present ideas and make the flow of information easier for your readers to consume. And if you're not doing that right now, take the extra 5 minutes after you've finished writing an article to go through it and just break up any large paragraphs that just look like they're a little bit too scary for people to read. And that's another good point to do. When you finish writing an article, go through and read it yourself. This may seem obvious to you, but this is something that some people just don't bother doing. Spell checking. Spell checking is very easy to do. Install the Google Toolbar. Go to Google and type in Google Toolbar, and you'll find a link to it. Put that on your browser. The Google Toolbar includes a built-in spell checker. Um, the, The Firefox browser also has one, but I recommend you get the toolbar anyway. And what you do is whenever you finish writing an article, it's in while it's still in that input box where you type your articles into your blog, you just click spell check and it'll go through your article and highlight any words it thinks might be spelt wrong, any words spelt wrong. And that's, you know, a simple thing you can do to just make that little extra, you know, fine-tooth comb over your writing so you're not putting out content that's not completely polished. I mean, you still might get grammar and spelling mistakes out the door. I know I do. But at least I know in most cases 99% of my content is going out the door in a reasonably sound manner. And while some people say that spelling really shouldn't have that much of an impact, there are people out there who are really, really picky about these things. So the more people you can satisfy and the more professional you look, the better. So the spell check is another tool you can use. Go back and read your article at least once after you've written it, preferably twice. After you publish it, read it again. That's what I always do. I'll read it once after I've written it, publish it, and then read it again to see what it looks like live on my site and, you know, make sure I haven't forgotten to do anything. And all these things just that provide a little boost to your content. So it will always be the power of your headline and the power of your content that really dictates how well your articles do and whether an article becomes a pillar or not. But all these little extra steps you can do help to bring in traffic from other sources as well. Because remember, we're not talking just about raw readers who read your article the day it's published. We're talking about search engine traffic down the line. We're talking about attracting links from other bloggers, and there's all kinds of ways you're going to try and use your content and attempt to capture traffic with your content. So the more avenues you have to do things, and the more automated the whole process is, and the more habitually you do it, the better outcomes you'll get from your blogging content. I hope you have a better understanding now of what it takes to produce pillar content. Like I said before, it's a little bit of an abstract idea, and you won't fully understand how a pillar article is produced until you actually produce your first one. And really, when I say that, you have to get the rewards of a pillar article for it to be a pillar article. Just because you think you've produced a fantastic article, if you're not pulling in traffic from it and you haven't built some links from it, and if you're a brand new blog, just one or two links and just one or two comments and just noticing 10 to 50 new readers is enough to say that you've got your first pillar article, because they'll get better and better as you get more and more traffic. But if you get nothing as a result of writing an article and you look at it and think, I thought this was a pillar article, maybe you realize that it's not and maybe you have to try something different. And then when you finally do hit that pillar article, it'll become so much more clear for you and you'll understand what it takes. Essentially here we're attempting to define what is considered remarkable, so, and what's considered of great value. In order to define that, you really can't, because we're talking about perceptions of your readership and the general population and audience. And that is constantly changing, and everyone has a unique perception of what is remarkable because of their own circumstances and experiences and what they enjoy. So what is remarkable to one person won't be remarkable to others. Your goal with pillar content is to produce something that's remarkable to a large enough chunk of the population, and certainly a large enough chunk of the people in your specific topic area, your niche, that they come and consume that topic and spread the word about that topic, really enjoy it, get great value, start to appreciate you, start to appreciate your blog, and all these wonderful outcomes as a result fuels your traffic. And down the line, that gives you the ability to make money through the monetization methods we'll be using and you'll be implementing on your blog. Okay guys, I hope you understand what pillar content is. The next call is about marketing. It goes hand in hand with pillar content, so make sure you try and listen to these two calls very close together, because they really are very, very related. This is Yarrow Stark. Thanks for listening to this recording, and I'll catch you again soon.